We continue our look at Mark chapter 7 as the Lord is confronting the religious leaders of Israel, and we're picking up in verse 9 this morning. Verses 9 through 13. And this is the word of God, and so listen carefully. He was also saying to them, "You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and the one who speaks evil of father and mother is certainly to be put to death. But you say, if a person says to his father or his mother, 'Whatever I have that would help you is Corban, that is, given to God,' you no longer allow him to do anything for his father or his mother, thereby invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down. And you do many things such as that." Congregation, we saw last week that when the Lord confronted the religious leaders, he accused them of having a false religion, not just getting the Bible wrong here and there, but actually ignoring the entire Old Testament and the purpose of the Old Testament. Now, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of Israel, and they longed for the days of past glory. They look back at the days of Solomon when Israel had this outward glorious kingdom, and they realized that they had lost it. And so their goal was to bring back these days of glory. And the way they would do that is to get as many people in Israel obeying the law of God. And the more they could get people to obey, the more they could move or convince God to bring back the days of glory. And so they themselves were the most scrupulous in obeying the law, or at least what they thought was the law. Jesus tells us they were always washing their hands. They actually studied scripture every day. In John, it says, "You search the scriptures daily." So they were in the word every day. They prayed every day, and they actually prayed long prayers, as Jesus points out elsewhere. They even would tithe spices. You have to understand what that means, that if you see a little mint or cumin in your garden and there's 10 of them, they would pluck one little one out, take it down to the temple, and place it as a tithe. And so everything was tithe. That's how scrupulous they were in what they thought was obeying the law. They believed, because they were so scrupulous, that they were good with God. And yet Jesus tells them, your religion is all external. It has never penetrated to your heart. And that's the problem. And so the legalist gets up every morning and thinks this way: what must I do today to be right with God? Well, thinks about all the laws he must obey. And then he thinks, I can do that. The Christian gets up in the morning and says, thank you, Lord, that you washed me clean. And Lord, I need your strength and help today by your Spirit. And so forgive me of my sins and do in me what I cannot do myself. The Pharisees say, I can do this. The Christian says, I cannot do this. They pray the way Matthew Henry would often pray, Lord, renew me in the inward man, otherwise it will never get done. And so the Lord called the Pharisees hypocrites that have invented another religion that is not the religion of the Bible. Now, after calling them hypocrites, he then gives evidence in our passage for the accusation. Now, why does he accuse them publicly? For one, Jesus came to die, and time is growing short. We're in the third year now. And so he knows this will provoke them, which it does, to begin to plan his death. But he also wants us to know, and the people of Israel, the difference between the religion of the Pharisee and what Jesus had come to preach, the gospel he was preaching. You see, it gets tricky because legalists know their Bibles, and they use their Bibles. In your life, I'm sure you've been fooled, as I have, by legalists. Because we all respect the Bible, and when someone uses the Bible, we can be easily deceived by that. But Jesus gives us insight here how to understand what's really going on, how not to be deceived. And he says here that legalists use the word to sin. They use the Bible to disobey the Bible. In other words, verse 9, you set aside the commandments of God for your own traditions. And so it's important to pay attention how legalists work so you will not be deceived by it. And so the Lord gives an example. He quotes the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. How serious was this commandment to God? Well, the death penalty was attached to this under the Mosaic law. It's not something God takes lightly to dishonor your parents. Now, we do not see this actually happening in the Old Testament. Like many of the laws, they simply did not follow through. But we do see how important it is to God to honor your father and mother. Now, in practical terms, as Jesus brings out for adults, it means more than anything else, taking care of them when they're older. Because in those days, they did not have Social Security, they did not have Medicare, and they did not have pensions. So when you got to a certain age, you needed a child who could work to provide for you, or else you could starve. And so the Pharisees actually found a way around caring for their elderly parents. And guess how they found a way around it? They found a verse in the Bible, like all legalists do. So what they would do is they developed a tradition from the Bible, and I'll show you in a moment, where they would dedicate their savings to the temple. And that was called Corban. Corban means offering. And so they would make a vow to God and say, all my savings I dedicate. It would be like dedicating it to the church. All my savings I dedicate to God and to the temple. That's where it would go upon their death. Now, there is a loophole. There's always a loophole, right? There was a loophole. While they were alive, they could spend this money because they could always replenish the amount, but they were not allowed to give it to anyone else because they probably wouldn't be able to replenish the amount. And so if someone said to a Pharisee, you know, I saw your parents the other day. They look somewhat sickly. They could really use some help. A Pharisee would say in a very spiritual tone, I can't help them. I've dedicated all my money to God. Doesn't that sound spiritual? And they would say, and I've made a vow. And when you make a vow to the Lord, you must keep your vow. Now, where does it say that in the Bible? It's from Numbers 30. And we have enough writings of the rabbis back then. This is what they would always quote. In Numbers 30, it says, Moses said to the heads of the tribes of Israel, this is what the Lord commands. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself with a pledge, he must never break his word. He must do everything he promised. Now you see how the Pharisees would use the Bible, right? Well, I'd like to help my parents, but I made a vow. The Bible says I have to keep my vow, so someone else is going to have to provide for them. Now even worse, you see verse 12. They would actually force other people who wanted to provide not to provide. And so a man would come up to the Pharisees or the rabbis and say, you know, my parents need help. They don't have enough money and they need food. But I've already dedicated my savings to God. I've declared Corban. Can I take some of those funds and help my parents? And notice what Jesus says. You tell them no. You put pressure on them not to help their parents, not to honor their father and mother. After all, they would say, it's in the Bible, and you made a vow. Now, what would you say to that if you were in that situation? And they said, hey, I made a vow, Numbers 30. I can't give any money to my parents. Well, hopefully you would say, there are weightier matters of the law that God would have us obey, more than the minute details. And the weightier matters include the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. You cannot get out of that through a technicality that you have figured out using the Bible. That is a greater command. But really, what's going on here? What is driving them? Is it really a scrupulous love of the law? No, they have figured it out because what's driving them is coldness and greed. I mean, what kind of a son or daughter doesn't care for their elderly parents who are suffering? You've got to have a pretty cold heart not to want to help your parents and honor them that way. So they had these cold hearts, and now they needed to justify it. And so they did what all legalists did. They found a verse. But also what was driving them was greed, the love of money. They found a verse to justify their greed. You see, by money going to the temple, it's actually going to the Pharisees. They benefit from other people giving money. So they didn't want that money leaving the temple because they could use that money. And so they actually used the Bible to justify their coldness and justify their greed. This is the heart of a legalist. This is what Jesus is exposing. In the name of religion, you are using the Bible for selfish reasons. You are ignoring the greater matters of the law, which is to love one another sacrificially. Because they did not have that type of love in them, they found a way around it. But Jesus saw right through it, didn't he? He saw right through their phony attempts to look spiritual and use the Bible. And notice how he ends. You do many things like this. He could have talked for a while, couldn't he? I'm sure he's seen all these other examples of how they use the Bible to ignore the Bible. I'm going to list some other examples that are common in the greater church. Maybe you've seen these. People who are abusive to their spouse, they are cold and demanding and selfish. And then when you confront them, what do they say? The Bible says you must forgive me. Now you want to obey the Bible. But you want others to obey the Bible because it benefits you selfishly. You don't want to love your spouse in a way that honors God. But now you're demanding they follow a verse of the Bible for your selfish benefit. In the name of laziness, there are housewives who do not do their work. They do not provide for their husband or family, but they can be online all day sharing Bible verses. And you can confront them and say, the greater matters of the law is to work diligently, especially for those you're providing for. Well, I'm busy sharing the Bible. Now, what's really happening here? You're using the Bible to sin. You're using the Bible to avoid work, to justify laziness. I've known men. There are many who start their own ministry. No church has called them. And by the way, even the Apostle Paul submitted to the call of a church. No church has called them, but they raise their own funds and they call themselves evangelists. And all what's going on, they don't want to work. And so they find a way in the name of God to not work. And when you confront them and you say, you don't really have a call. You should be providing for your family, not stealing money from the church where it should be going. Nobody has called you to do this. What do they say? Well, I must preach. God has called me. What's really going on? Is it a love for the lost? No, it's a love for laziness. But they have found a way to use Christianity to justify their laziness. Many who are part of what's called the patriarchal movement, they use one metaphor, head, to deny the servant attitude we should have with all others, including our wives. We are called in Christ to love sacrificially, to give up our way. And yet they use the Bible to say, no, I get to get my way all my life. And everyone has to do what I want them to do. The exact opposite of what Jesus taught and modeled, but then they'll use a verse. And then there are professing Christians who hate other people. They have hatred for people of certain lifestyles or politics, and they justify that hatred in their heart. They treat them rudely. They mock them. They refuse to have relationships with other people. And we point out that's not what Jesus commanded. Jesus commanded us to love our enemies and to bless and not curse. And what's the response? Well, I need to take a stand for God. Using the Bible to ignore the Bible. What's really going on is you hate certain people and you have found a way to justify your hatred using Christianity. Do you see why legalism is so deadly? Legalism is deadly because it uses the Bible to dehumanize people. It uses the Bible to use others to get your way. And that's what it all ends up doing. That's what the Pharisees were doing every day. But notice the Lord will have none of this. The Lord will rebuke it publicly and call out the hypocrisy. And so I want to leave you with three points of application this morning. First is to be wise. There are Pharisees all around you, or always have been since the church began. Remember, they know their Bibles. And they look good outwardly. The Pharisees looked very spiritual. How do you know not to be deceived? Well, don't be impressed by the externals. A lot of people know their Bibles. A lot of people read their Bibles. Look at the heart. Look at what's called the fruit of the Spirit. Do they have Christ-like sacrificial love for other people? That's not something you can outwardly do. That's something that the Holy Spirit does in you. If you only look at the outward, you'll be easily burned. And then the church will be destroyed. And it's easy to put the wrong type of people in leadership because outwardly, they look good. Secondly, do not fall into this trap yourself. If you ever catch yourself using the Bible to justify a sin or to justify selfishness, catch yourself and confess it to God. It's something we can also do as Christians. Turn away from that right away. And remember, the Lord sees right through it, right to our hearts. And so he does offer forgiveness for all those who confess their sins. If you ever find yourself falling into that with others, then come to the Lord in repentance. And then thirdly and finally, if legalism dehumanizes people, then what does Christianity do? It humanizes people. It loves people. God loved you, and he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. The son loved you so much, he bore all the shame and penalty of your sins, agonizing on the cross, bearing God's judgment for you. That's the love God has for us. And when you become a Christian, God pours out that type of love, Christ's love in you, when you receive the Holy Spirit. And so whether for elderly parents, for a spouse, for Christians, or for non-Christians, that love from Christ flows out to others. That is the essence of the law, congregation. That's what legalists will never understand. Because they don't have Christ-like love in them. They can only change the outer self. But that's why God saved you. So you will know him and you will reflect the Son of God. How can you do that? How can you change your heart? You can't. That's why you come to the Lord regularly. Lord, forgive me and may your Holy Spirit renew me and make me more like your Son. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. That, my friends, is what genuine Christianity is. It flows out from the inside. Christ's love for you, saving you, and then now in you, flowing out to others. That is true religion. And that is the true religion that glorifies God. Let's pray.